Trump has told the Pentagon to stop admitting new transgender service members and decide how to treat people who are already serving. Here at Joint Base, Lewis McChord, Army Staff Sergeant and Bronze Star recipient Patricia King, was the first U.S. infantryman to come out as transgender. Welcome, Sergeant.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Before I ask you about President Trump's new policy, how did you earn the Bronze Star in Afghanistan?
I was awarded a Bronze Star for service at the end of my last deployment in 2014 after a year of serving as a platoon sergeant and eventually platoon leader and bringing my platoon back safe.
Was there anything in particular that got the committee's attention that for which they decorated you?
I served as a PSD platoon sergeant, which means it was my job to escort dignitaries up to and including the Secretary of Defense as they traveled around southern Afghanistan.
What did you think when you first heard that President Trump was banning transgender people from the military?
My first thought was that I was really shocked, because we're talking about questioning my readiness when I am qualified and able to deploy right now. So we're talking about banning a group of people, and we've used such excuses as the cost, which we've already discussed and negated based on things like the RAND Corporation survey. And now we're talking about readiness when we've seen through our 18 partner nations, as well as service members who are deployed to Afghanistan right now, the readiness simply isn't an issue for transgender service members.
Yeah, I want to talk about the idea of readiness. The Trump administration has said that allowing people who are transgender to openly serve is bad for unit cohesion and military readiness. And I, a civilian, have some guess as to what that means, like soldiers won't work together because some of them will be offended, or gender identity is going to overshadow military identity. Is that the concern?
I think that is possibly the concern. However, I have a hard time understanding this. First of all, as a person who has been serving openly transgender in the military for the last 2 years, I simply haven't encountered that, nor have I met a trans service member who has said that people flat out will not work with them. We've seen throughout our nation's history that sometimes bringing groups of people together can be turbulent and confusing in the beginning. When we had desegregation, it was difficult at first, and people made many of the same claims. And then it turned out that it wasn't an issue. I remember that that General Milley has been quoted as saying that the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell was the biggest non-event of his entire career, because people were very concerned and there was a lot of buildup. Oh my goodness, when we allow openly gay people to serve, it's going to affect unit cohesion. And then they looked at it a year afterwards, and what they realized is that there was no effect on cohesion, there was no effect on readiness, and open transgender service is the same as it applies to cohesion.
President Trump has given his defense secretary 6 months to develop the new transgender ban. Has it already affected your life in some way?
In some ways, it has. First, I'd like to point out that when we talk about 6 months to review the transgender ban, that is half as long as has already been spent studying open transgender service. When the last Secretary of Defense decided that he wanted to consider open transgender service, he commissioned a board which studied the issue for a year. He then commissioned the RAND Corporation to do an independent survey, and the New England Journal of Medicine did their own independent survey, while again talking to the 18 partner nations. Open transgender service is the most studied group of people that's ever been allowed to serve in the military. So to allow 6 months to determine how best to deal with transgender people is, I guess, ironic when you consider how thoroughly we've already been looked at.
And you were saying the president's order has already affected you personally?
Yes. So I was scheduled to undergo a gender reassignment surgery, and when this order came down, that surgery was canceled.
Why?
You know, I can't speak to policy. What I know is that I was told through my military leadership and our medical providers that at this point all medical procedures are on hold pending the results of this.
Could you, I presume, get this surgery on your own? I don't know whether you can afford it, but you could have it if you wanted it. But,
Yep. So it, at this point, what I'm being told is, yes, transgender service members are still authorized to do things like this, but it will have to come out of their own pocket. And procedures like this, you know, can be somewhat costly to the individual. The irony in it is that the Affordable Care Act makes many of these procedures available to Americans who have health insurance. So we're talking about a procedure that now the only people who are not able to receive it are those who are defending our freedom.
And we should make it clear that not all, I don't know what percentage of transgender people you could get a hormone therapy, you could get gender replacement surgery. My understanding is that's certainly not all, is maybe not even most transgender military service members opt for that.
You know what? Treatment for gender dysphoria can be as individualized as the person who is being treated. Some will opt to have various procedures, and others will feel that minimal things like just hormone treatment help them. It just varies per person. I will tell you that for me, I was fortunate that here in the military, right here at JBLM, in December, I decided that I wanted to have a procedure on my vocal cords. A military doctor decided to perform the first military version of that surgery. It was no cost to the taxpayer because it was done here at the military base, and I had it right before Christmas leave. So while I couldn't speak over Christmas, there was no effect on my readiness, and I came back to work ready to go.
Yeah, there's an example of the range of care that we're talking about here. Again, I'm talking with Army Staff Sergeant Patricia King, who is serving at Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Pierce County. You've been in the Army 18 years, Sergeant. What was it like for you before openly trans people were allowed to serve? That's been most of your time in the military.
Yes, I spent 16 years in the military, as well as many years before that, dealing quietly and privately with the way I felt about my gender incongruence. It was something that was always there in the back of my mind, but I managed to put it off and put it off. And then I reached a point in my life where I decided now is the right time for me to deal with this issue and go ahead and transition. And it's a deeply personal decision for anybody who has to go through that. Some will choose to at a younger age for various reasons. And I look forward to a time when people don't have to worry about external factors like discrimination when they make these decisions.
What changed for you personally when the Obama administration reversed that transgender policy?
Well, so I made a decision to come out and start my transition prior to the Secretary of Defense's announcement to reverse the policy. That was actually the Secretary of Defense who had made that decision. I had made a decision after my last deployment. I did some praying and some soul searching, and ultimately decided that it was the right time for me to live an authentic life.
How do you think your bosses feel about your gender status? Can you tell?
Well, I will tell you what they tell me, and what they tell me is that they are proud of me, that they consider this another example of the bravery that we as service members show, and that they support me as a soldier and as a person. For the most part, my gender identity hasn't been an issue. For the last year, while open transgender service was a thing, my gender identity wasn't something we discussed. There was simply no need to. I simply came to work and did my job. It hasn't been something that we've had to deal with until this ban was reinstated.
You talked, Sergeant, about just coming to work and doing your job like anybody else. And as I said, I'm a civilian. Is there any reason for service members to keep their identities to themselves for purposes of cohesion and unity? Is it just like any other job in that sense?
Well, I believe that who you are doesn't affect the job that you do. My peers, my coworkers, the people who know me best, the people who have served in Afghanistan with me, when I came out after my deployment, what they told me was, I know you, I know how capable you are of doing your job, and who you are doesn't affect that to me, doesn't affect the way I see you. I was met with support. I don't think that you wouldn't ask a cisgender female to act like a man to help with unit cohesion. You wouldn't tell a person of a particular faith to act as though they were of a different faith telling a transgender person that they should hide their gender identity, because all you're doing is suggesting that I shouldn't live an authentic life. And that, if anything, will interfere with our unit cohesion because it puts a barrier up to who I am.
Do you think that President Trump's new transgender ban might push some service members back into the closet, so to speak?
I fear that this situation will do that. I'm afraid that people who wanted to live an authentic life, who wanted to be genuine to themselves and wanted to serve with the same dignity in themselves that they have in their service, will now be afraid that they're unable to do so. And that's the last thing you want to do, is because we want the best and brightest, and the best and brightest come to work with nothing in the way except the job that they have to do.
Could some privately transgender service members do the opposite and come forward now before this ban takes effect?
You know, I can't speak to policy and whether or not that's something that is allowed. What I know is that there are support networks out there. We have a support network called SPARTA, which has over 700 members, all active duty transgender service members who are serving right now and are happy to be there as a support network for people who are going through these things.
Well, what does this still-in-process military transgender ban, you talked about your gender reassignment surgery is not happening, but there are all these questions about how Defense Secretary Mattis is going to implement this. So what else do you know this means for you? You're someone who's already in the military, 18 years, Bronze Star recipient.
There are more unknowns for me right now than there are knowns. I don't know if I will be able to retire. I don't know if I will be able to continue to serve, which this is a job that I love. I have no interest in going anywhere. I don't know how my health care will be affected. There are so many things that I don't know. What I do know is that until they tell me that I'm no longer welcome here, I have a job to do and I have people that count on me.
Is there something that's happened to you or a conversation you've had that really stands out to you regarding President Trump's attitude and still to be determined policy towards transgender service members? I just wonder what it's been like to be you, something you've seen, you've heard, you've experienced.
Well, for me personally, being openly transgender and having come out before the ban was lifted, I know that living an authentic life and being true to myself is absolutely the most important thing to me and makes me a better soldier. What I've seen that's really stuck with me is I've had people reach out to me and say, I was almost ready to come out. I had just spoken with my family and I was ready to make that next step and then this happened. What do I do now? Do I stay in the military? Do I come out? These are choices that people are having to face that I just don't know that that's something that they should have to deal with, because it gets in the way of them being able to serve more than transitioning ever could.
How do you answer someone who asks you, what do I do now?
Well, I first tell them that they have to be aware of the consequences that any action that they ever take could make. When you make a decision to come out as a transgender person, you have to be feasibly ready to lose anything that you hold dear, because you simply don't always know how a family member might take it, how a friend might take it. In 42 states in our country, you can be fired simply for being transgender, and now potentially in the military as well. So you have to be understanding of that and come to a point where you decide that living your truth is worth the risk. And I can tell you as a person that lives an authentic life that it absolutely is worth the risk. But you have to be aware of what you're endeavoring upon.
You have to be ready to lose it all. That is Staff Sergeant Patricia King, the first U.S. infantryman to reveal that she's transgender. She's been serving in the Army for 18 years. She's stationed at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Two federal lawsuits were filed yesterday against President Trump's transgender ban. One of those filed in Seattle on behalf of someone who wants to join the military and also a JBLM soldier who's already serving. Staff Sergeant Patricia King, thanks for telling us your story. Thank you.
Thank you.